Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio today is a guest host, Dr. Marty Vaughn. And Marty, it's always good to have you when Doc O can't be with us. And he's on a ministry venture today, but we were fortunate enough to capture you and to corral you in. And we've been talking here for the last number of broadcasts on a very relevant topic, on the nature of restoring relationships that have been torn apart by conflict.
And it's so real because it's an everyday experience that we can face in our life, even in those of us who day by day practice helping others. I find myself often going to my wife and saying, "Sweetheart, I know I shouldn't have said that way. I was wrong. Will you forgive me?"
That's really hard. We don't want to start the broadcast with that.
Oh, okay. Well, let's go back.
Some of our listeners are driving to work in the morning.
Well, they got all day to think about it before they go home tonight.
We're going to get emails, and you're going to be the reason.
That's what we really were talking, because you brought up a very realistic situation that happens to all of us. In our last broadcast, you were talking about the fact, why don't you set it up as you did before?
Yeah, we were talking about the fact that, okay, I've been listening to you talk here about the need to restore relations biblically. We talked about the fact that conflict will come and that it is sinful and that we have a biblical obligation to go do so. You talked to us in one of our broadcasts on all the benefits of doing so, the opportunity that God gives to us in conflict as we handle it biblically to represent Him, to give a good picture of Christ. And then we were talking really about the difficulty of this and observing that, okay, I'm listening to you, I'm buying everything, I'm being convicted by this, the Spirit of God is changing me, I'm in agreement, and I'm going to go home now to a person that I'm in conflict with and perhaps have been in conflict with for a long time. I need some pointers. And you told me, well, one of the things you need to do is pray. You need to take time to pray, and you want to ask God for the right opportunity, which may not be today.
Right.
So you need to pray for opportunity, and then you need to pray that God would be doing the work in that person's heart that needs to be done.
That's exactly right. I call it prayer and process, because I ask the Lord, because I cast my dependency on Him, because this is not me and my own illegitimate desire of just having to solve something because I want harmony. But it's really a spiritual battle, and the battle is the Lord's, in the sense of I'm going to yield myself to Him to be an instrument in His hands to use me, to grow me, to bring me, to humble me, to bring harmony in this relationship. But it's because of Him. It goes way back to one of our first principles, the we because of He principle. We love Him because He first loved us. And so I say, is this the right time? Because the idea is the first thing I do in resolving conflict is commit myself to please the Lord in all things. Prayer and the sweet odor of prayer is an aroma that's pleasing to the Lord. So I pray, ask the Lord, I process, I say, is this the right timing? Because it requires me obeying His word. It requires me being directed by His Spirit. And when I open the door and go in the house, sometimes I can sense, a person can sense, is my son or daughter home if it's with a son or daughter? Is the spouse sitting in calmness, or is our dishes bouncing off the cupboard doors? I sense the difference.
I just have a mental picture of that.
I sense the difference right away. And I realize that.
But Marty, some people are so insensitive. And it's almost a form of selfishness. Yeah. You know what? I'm going to get this taken care of right now. I don't care what's going on in your life.
You get in here and sit down right now, son. We're going to do this right now.
I'll give you a classic case in point. You know, there was a time where a person was having relational conflicts, and they insisted on talking to me about these relational conflicts they were having with others on Beth's birthday. And it took all afternoon, literally. I mean, you're sitting there going, what in the world?
What a way to spend a birthday.
Yeah, and it just totally ruined her. It ruined her day.
Right, right.
You know, because I'm not in the happiest mood, and I'm trying to work through all this, and she's not a part of the problem. She's not a part of the solution, so she's not in the loop of what's going on. All she knows is she's got a grumpy husband. Now, then I got another relationship issue there. This selfish relationship issue over here caused me to have a relational conflict of my own.
I know. And if you look back, and again, this, I'm not saying this in a way of accusation, but if you look back in most of those situations, there was little prayer given to the situation. Mm-hmm. That's what we called it before, the subtle demand. And so not only is there prayer needed, but in the process. I call it maybe the pace of resolving conflict.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, is this the right time? Is this the right setting? Typically, it's better to do things like this after dinner, after the stomach is full, after when we push back from the table. I don't want to assume in any or anyone to assume in any way that we're talking about avoiding, because we've been talking
right.
Romans 12:18, pursuing this aspect of resolving the conflict. But then here's the other secret within this pace of pleasing God is I am to be praiseworthy. To be praiseworthy, what I mean to be praiseworthy is to reflect God by my submissive, humble spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The very tone of my words, like just like you said, a demand. Sit down here. We got to get this taken care of. Well, what compassion does that show? What expression or what tone? So I ask people when I counsel them, I ask them to say, Lord, break my heart over this situation. Break me to the point where my very tone of my voice, the very expressions are loving. My eyes communicate a plea. It's not a demand. It's a submissive, broken, compassionate me that's now opening my heart to my wife or to my son or to my daughter and asking forgiveness, which obviously brings us to that perspective, because conflicts come because I want something so badly that I will sin to get it. And
now say that again, because that's the first time I've heard you say that.
Yeah.
Conflicts
come because I want something so badly that I will sin to get it. In other words, I want my way so badly. Even in the process of resolution, I want this so bad, I'm going to yell and scream and demand that it happens.
Mm.
And that's really what's going on in our heart. That's really what sin's all about. Something that I want so bad that I will do, I will take even a good thing that I will sin to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, the wife may be saying, all I want. Or the husband may be saying, all I want when I come home is just a clean house. And the wife may be saying, well, all I want is just a satisfied husband that isn't picking at me. Now, think about those two sentences that we just used.
I want
a clean house. In other words, more than I want a relationship with God, more than I want a sweet relationship with you, I'm demanding a clean house. Now, a clean house is a good thing, but when I want something so bad, I'll sin to get it. That's conflict. And the wife says, well, all that I want is a husband that's not judgmental and not picking.
And we easily fall into that, don't we?
Sinful hearts result in demanding speech. You know, and so this is what happens. And God says, I want to take those away. I want to bring the right perspective, because our idea is I want you to know how badly I was treated and how badly I feel and how badly I felt about the situation. And God says, wait a minute, let's go back and let's look at this whole thing. I want you to please me, and what I'm trying to do is to build in you a true desire. In your illustration that we've been solving and working through things even within the home, I want to build within you a love for that other person the way I love you. And that's what it's really all about, building a God-like love within us. That's the wonderful fruit of resolving conflicts. It's just incredible to see the fact that people look back sometimes and they'll say, "I didn't realize I could love that person that much that I actually." Well, how could they do that? Because the Holy Spirit broke them, and the love of Christ was now flowing through them, and they were fulfilling that royal law that Galatians talks about of loving one another. See, the revelation of God's love is expressed in our love.
And I think that's an important point because, you know, at the end of the day, we've been talking for six broadcasts now on resolving conflict. And at some point, we need a model. Mm-hmm. We need a picture. I mean, you've been giving us some great principles and some great truths, but let me kind of end our series on restoring broken relationships biblically by pointing to the ultimate model, and that is the model of God the Father,
Amen.
And God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who were offended against. In other words, we are the ones that broke the relationship, mm-hmm. not them. And we did nothing to initiate the restoration of that relationship. Romans clearly says that God demonstrated his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so literally God initiated the restoration process and God went to the ultimate extreme to bring it about. I mean, he sacrificed his own son. Jesus Christ sacrificed his own life willingly so that all of the obstacles toward restoration could be dealt with.
And this brings us to a whole other topic, and that topic is forgiveness because mm-hmm. Ephesians 4:32 says, just as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you, so you forgive someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's a whole change. This whole aspect of resolving conflict is a repentance which brings along an attitudinal forgiveness that causes me to be released from the conflict.
And let me kind of end with this thought, Marty, because this is where I am and this is where a lot of our listeners are if we're really honest. We look at something like this and we would say, I could never do that. And the answer is you can because you have some of God's nature in you.
That's right.
You really do have. I mean, Peter says that you have been made a partaker of the divine nature, and the divine nature is to forgive.
We can forgive because he did forgive.
Mm-hmm.
We because of he.
And that's a great way to end our series. And those of you that have been listening now for the last five broadcasts, this is our sixth broadcast on restoring broken relationships and resolving conflict biblically. And our guest host for this series of broadcasts has been Dr. Marty Vaughn. Marty, thank you for taking the time to be with us and to share these ideas and these thoughts right out of Romans 12:18.
Well, it's really been enjoyable. You've made it so easy to do so. The questions, the illustrations, the fun that we've had, and hopefully the Lord's been glorified and conflicts will be resolved in our listeners' lives.
And for those of you listening who would like all six of the broadcasts, you can go to our website, www.thewordforlife.org. and download the series of broadcasts entitled Restoring Relationships Biblically. Until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless you.